I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Healthcare is so overwhelming. My doctors rushed through visits. I was billed for things that should be covered, and no one was really listening. I felt lost. That's why I called Solace. They paired me with a trained healthcare advocate who actually knew how to get things done. She helped me find the right doctor, coordinate transportation after surgery, and overturn a medical bill. She even joined my appointments to make sure I got real answers. And the best part? It's covered by Medicare, and they stay with you for as long as you need help. My Solace advocate is always just a phone call or text away.
96% of patients report better care with a Solace advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. That's S-O-L-A-C-E health.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So anyway, Wilpons came to my studio and watched me do the show, and their faces fell off their face, and they had this look of that they were appalled. Meanwhile, back at the farm, newsflash, I was on an uncensored, filthy channel, like just absolutely rated XXX, right? What did you expect? What did you expect? You knew full on that I worked for Howard Stern, and then you expected me to be some choir boy? Are you kidding me? So they never liked me from the jump. And what was great about it was is that I didn't like them either. And it went both ways. And I'm not a phony, and they are. And so, I just decided, well, first of all, I didn't need the job because I already did well. And so I went over there and just, laid it all on the line every day and had fun and said whatever I wanted. And I just said everything. And I mean anything to get them mad. I used to drive them nuts. I used to say everything. I actually, I abused them like no other when they lost the seven game lead with 17 to go. And they choked, and I made fun of them relentlessly, and till the bitter end, I just kept abusing them, and then they finally fired me. So I didn't care when the guy, I'll never forget, the guy told me, he goes, "We're not going to renew your contract." I said, "That's great." He goes, I need you to finish out the contract. There's 3 months left on it. And I said, "Listen, dude, I'm going to St. Martin tomorrow. I'm going to be laying on a beach smoking a fatty the size of my shoe. And I'm going to get laid, and I'm never coming back here again, ever. I'm not doing any more shows. So you can take that 3 month contract and stick it up your." And Then I saw him at the Big East Championships. I said, how you been? I saw him at the Garden. I go, it's good to see you. As I was sitting front row.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Maryland just beat Minnesota in overtime. I guess I had that coming. I saw that brewing. Remember, I said, you might as well just go lose the game now. You've blown the lead. And I said, they're going to lose this game in overtime. Sure enough, they did. 45-44. Minnesota scored in overtime to set up the game-tying extra point, and the kid missed the extra point. He shanked it wide right by about 4 feet. The kicker Walker for Minnesota. I only mention his name because his life's ruined now. He just absolutely shankopotamus missed this kick. It was awful. Maryland wins at 45-44. They were down 38-21 entering the fourth quarter, and they won the game. That is unbelievable. Like, how do you blow that game, PJ Fleck? How do you explain that? You're up, you know, 38-21. You got to be kidding me. And you, in a matter of one quarter, you blow that game and lose in overtime. That is crazy. That is just absolutely crazy. So nice job, Minnesota, you pikers. That was just such a coif. It's not even funny. What a lousy performance by them. And Mafia just said it best. He's like, that guy should go back to the MAC because he's done nothing in Minneapolis. I mean, he really hasn't. So, and your boy, Tagovailoa's little brother, whoever he is, I don't know who he is. All I know is he led the whole comeback and they did it. And they went crazy when they won the game. They poured onto the field. And Mavi and I were just trying to figure out who everyone is, like the coach. We have no clue. Anyone? What?
The coach of Maryland is apparently Mike Loxley, Mike of Loxley, from the old Robin Hood Men in Tights thing. He is a former coach that actually was the assistant under our boy who we were just talking about, Edsel. When Edsel got fired, he was the interim coach, left and went to Alabama, and then came back after Durkin got fired to take the reins of the head coach.
Well, there you go. That's his big win. I mean, you're down 38-21. I don't understand. You know, they were up 14-0 in this game. At least I saw them. They were up 14-0, and Tulia Tagovailoa had a big game, and then he ran in. I think he scored twice. Then this Ibrahim guy rushed for 4 touchdowns for Minnesota, and they started blowing him out. They ended up taking the lead 28-21. Then it was 38-17 or 38-21, and then they blew it. They lost. It is what it is. Here's the other news flash for you. Just so we're clear, I want to be, you know, get this right out there just in the open. No one cares about Minnesota Gopher football, even in Minnesota. I mean, they are awful and always have been. And that's just all there is to it, right? They remind me of Indiana. Indiana's now winning and playing great. They beat Penn State and everything, but that only took 32 years to beat a top 10 team. And I don't put any stock at all in rankings this year, in this 2020 COVID year, where they came out with rankings the first week and every ACC, SEC, and Big 12 team was ranked. And then when they added the Big 10 and they added all these other conferences and, you know, the AAC and everything else, then, you know, now they're adding the, you know, Mountain West, and they're adding the Pac-12. And then you'll see all those teams, like Oregon's going to be in the rankings. But bottom line is, I don't buy into any of the rankings at all. So whatever. But I do know that Minnesota has never mattered in football. And that's just all there is to it, or basketball for that matter. And the only thing they've ever mattered in my opinion, is college hockey. And there you go. So I'm going to sleep fine tonight knowing that Minnesota lost in overtime. I don't think I'm going to have a problem sleeping. And I'll be able to get up in the morning and play ball. Adam Wainwright drawing interest from the Braves. You know, he does have filthy stuff. I won't deny that he can pitch, and he's got all kinds of off-speed stuff, drive batters crazy. But I think he's old. I don't think that's what they need. You know what they needed? Remember they got Cole Hamels? Do you remember? They got Cole Hamels Mafia. That was their plan. We're going to have Cole Hamels. I'll never forget Chris Domino telling me they're going to have Cole Hamels ready for the playoffs. He's going to start on Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. And then Cole Hamels pitched about two innings, and then his arm fell off, and he never pitched again, right? So that's what I think is going to happen to Adam Wainwright. I just don't trust old guys anymore that pitch. You know what I mean? They just, at some point, they literally their shoulder and their arm falls off, and that's it. It's over. Once the arm goes and the velocity, it's over. And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, he's already 39 years old. And the thing, too, is you're going to see probably a lot of teams play games like this where they're going to try to get a little extra mileage out of some older guy instead of paying big bucks for some younger guy because of, you know, whatever money they lost with having no fans all season. They're going to say, you know what, we'll try to get someone this way on the cheap and see if he could have a good season. It's going to blow up in their face. Just like the Mets this year, where they had all those guys, you know, the reclamation projects that did nothing on their pitching staff.
Did you see your boy Saquon Barkley had his surgery today? Finally, on his knee. Boy, that took a while. Didn't he do that in like week two or three? Why didn't they operate on his knee? They had to wait till the swelling went down or something?
I mean, they always do that, but it took that long for the swelling to go down, enough to operate? That's surprising. Must have been really bad from the beginning.
I guess he had it today. That was it. He had surgery today. And speaking of pitchers, old pitchers, here's another one. I think, isn't Charlie Morton? I think he's about 39 too. The Rays declined his option for $15 million. They say they just want to restructure it and give him a different deal and bring him back. The thing is, I know that they want him back, and I have to believe it when I see it, right? One of those deals, because I have a feeling he's just going to walk away. Do you, Mafia? He's actually done everything. He's accomplished everything. He's won a World Series. They had to, like, you know, basically, I think after he won the World Series in Houston, it wasn't like he wanted to, I didn't think he wanted to keep pitching, but he went to the Rays, and he did well in Tampa, and he went to the postseason and pitched in a lot of games in the playoffs. But now they've declined his $15 million option. They want to bring him back, but I have a feeling, do you think he'll come back? Do you think he's going to walk away, Mav?
I mean, he's going to be 37 in a week and a half, so maybe, but he seemed to have a lot of fun on this team. He seemed to really enjoy playing with these guys. So maybe if they give him a couple million, he might come back for another year and just give it another go, see what they can do, and then retire after next year, do like a one-year deal. You know, it would seem like he had enough stuff to keep going. I mean, obviously a longer season, if they are able to do that next year, is going to be a lot different than this short one, but he looked good.
I think Alex Cora is going to end up the Red Sox manager again. I have this feeling, obviously, they've talked to him, allegedly, and it says they've been in contact with him and everything else. It didn't take A.J. Hinch long. The minute the World Series was over, the Tigers hired him. And I think Cora will be the next guy. I think Boston will bring him back. I'd be surprised if they didn't do it, to be honest with you, because they did so well with him, winning World Series and everything else. I think they love him. And he's so great at cheating. You know what I mean? Like, I think he'll do a great job if he gets his job back in terms of starting a new cheating scandal. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, but it's a whole different team he's going to come back to if he does. I mean, they got rid of the best player.
So John Lester, now a free agent. The Cubs declined his $25 million club option. Pay a $10 million buyout. I think he's shot. I don't want any part of him. I think John Lester's best years are way over. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Smitty from The Morning After on Sports Grid, and we'll start talking college football and pro football with Smitty, and get all of his picks for the games on Saturday and Sunday, and throw anything else we can at him as well. One other thing I wanted to talk about later, if I can remember, is the Ontario Hockey League. Have you seen this one, Mafia? They're not going to allow body checks. There's no more checking in hockey. Is that not the end of hockey as you now know it? You're not allowed to hit anybody on the ice now. No checking because of the COVID. They're just going to play pass, hockey, shoot, score. You're not allowed to hit anybody. I mean, this is just a terrible idea. This is a really bad idea. You cannot play hockey and not hit somebody. They aren't even going to know how to do that.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hawaii just threw a massive bomb and completed it at the 5-yard line of Wyoming. Wyoming's up 10-0 in that game in the Mountain West, but they just threw like a 50-yard, 60-yard bomb, and they're going to be set up shop first and goal from the 5. So anyway, Maryland already beat Minnesota in overtime. That East Carolina lead over Tulsa is 20-17 with 6 minutes left in the third. And I was just saying they're not going to have any checking in the minors in hockey. I you can't even make this stuff up. The Ontario Hockey League, I think they're going to do the same thing. I could be wrong. Like, I have to follow this story, but I think they're going to do it. The Quebec Major Junior Hockey League started earlier this month. The schedule's been affected by the COVID and government restrictions. They've had to shut down games. They're going to resume play this weekend. Western Hockey League, the WHL, plans to start its season January 8th. But the OHL announced yesterday it plans to start a shortened season February 4th, the last of the three major junior leagues to release the schedule. But they're not going to have checking. Removing physical contact is a necessity for all sports in the province to slow the spread of COVID-19. No checking in hockey. I can't even imagine, like, honestly, that sounds like those femmes I play with in the morning that, you know, oh, Pharrell, you're not allowed to foul me. Oh, Pharrell, you can't hand check me. Oh, Pharrell, you swatted my shot and smashed my nose in. Oh, Pharrell. Oh, you're not allowed to stick a 3 in my face. Oh, Pharrell, you're not allowed to argue with me because I'm the only one around here that's allowed to argue bad calls. You're not a member of the Ladies Tea Party and Bridge Club Basketball League. Oh, oh, we're a bunch of femmes. Oh, don't touch me. Oh, don't foul me. Oh, don't shoot in front of me. Oh, don't stick a 3. Oh. Overall, we're not allowed to check anyone in hockey. There's no hitting. Okay, sugar. None of that sweet stuff. Mafia doesn't like the sweet stuff. He'll always say, none of that sweet stuff, son. None of that candy. All right, Smitty joins us from the morning after. We love Smitty on the bench and on Coast to Coast and on Sports Grid and on Sports Grid Radio. He's a badass. He's a fisherman. He likes to catch schnook, otherwise known as hotties, from the building across the way. He likes to, throw a line out at night when they're on the deck having a smoke, or in the summer when they're at the pool sunbathing. Smitty is the Gordon's fisherman. He likes to snag the schnook. How you doing, Smitty?
Well, I'm doing great, brother. It's great to be on with you. I appreciate the kind words in the introduction. And yeah, I mean, I think it's, what is it, trout season here in the Hudson River? Is that what we're catching these days? Or is it more striped bass? What are you in the mood for these days?
You know, Smitty, I went to play ball this morning, and I swear to God, when I drove home, it was snowing. I saw snow today.
Yeah, I saw that out there. I saw in the northwest part of New Jersey, we got our first snow. I mean, it's early, but I feel like it's not that early. I mean, it's Halloween, so I've seen snow this early in the October before. It's definitely better than 100-degree summertime. I'll definitely say that.
So one Halloween, Mafia might remember it. You might remember it, Smitty. It was like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. Do you remember the Halloween snowstorm we got, where it was like super wet, heavy snow, and we got like a foot and a half of like 100-pound wet snow, like snowball snow, and all the power lines came down and trees because it was like super heavy wet snow. Do you remember that one on Halloween?
Yep, absolutely. And I feel like we're going to get another one of those soon, probably.
Yeah. I hate it here, the weather. It's awful. And,
Florida? You want to go? You want to move with my mom? She's a Boca babe down there. She's a Boca babe.
You want me to sleep with your mother? What? I'd love to. Let me know.
No, go down and move to Florida. Retire in Florida. She actually is single, but these days she's not. Hey, listen, I mean, she made me, so how can she not be, right?
I mean, you can tell. She's clearly hot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When I'm in my car, Smitty, Hawaii just scored. When I'm in the car, sometimes I'll talk to myself, and I'll say, I was driving today in the snow, and I was like, gotta be Barellin kidding me that it's snowing already. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I said to myself, I said, now we got like 6 months of this crap. Like, it's just 6 months. Then I said to myself, that's 24 weeks. That's 24 weeks of crap. And I was talking to myself, I was breaking it down. And I go, 6 months is 24.
You were capping the winter.
I was capping the winter because it's so long.
There you go.
And then how about when it gets, Smitty, to like March, and it's supposed to be like, March Madness, and people are like, oh, it's really springtime, and it's not. Like, it's not springtime in March. March is still freezing ass, cold, snowy, gray crap. And then April sucks too. It literally doesn't get nice here, you have to admit, till May.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, though, October, November are great months. And I like the fall in the city is great when it's like not quite at that level yet, but it's cool to where you're not sweating walking down the street. Because that, to me, the summertime in the city is just like, and I'm a big guy, I sweat. Like, I'll walk 10 blocks from Bursa to the subway and I will be drenched when it's like, 100 degrees in the summer. So I think when you're in the city, Bursa is not exactly like, you have to walk past some pretty sketchy areas to get to like some major transportation hubs when you're in that, the Midtown region by Times Square. Times Square can be a little bit. So when you're walking around, you're not walking slow, you're walking fast. And when it's 100 degrees, you work up a little lather there. So I would prefer the crispiness to the summer heat. But I agree, when it's 20 degrees and you're walking and you're trying to get as fast as possible out of the cold winter abyss, that's pretty bad too. I think it's the extremes that we don't like, really, is what
I actually I like the fall as well. I like September and October, but I have to say, Smitty, there's been a lot of movies in the past where there's been like fall in New York, where, the lovers, they meet, and it didn't like Kevin Costner fall in love with some chick.
Serendipity.
Was that it?
Yeah, serendipity.
Was that like a fall movie in New York?
You know, actually, the funny you say that, one of my favorite sports movies of all time is For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner.
In, that was great.
It was a little bit, because it gave you the sports version of it, which was cool. Right. You know, he threw a perfect game against the Yankees, but it also had that like romantic aspect of it where and you could take your girl to it and she would be totally.
Right.
It was a Kevin Costner. Yeah, it was a Kevin Costner. He was that great pitcher for the Tigers.
Right. With Travolta's wife.
I think that so. I don't know if she was.
No, that is. Life. That was her. That's her. She was the actress. Kelly Preston was the actress that he fell in love with in the movie. She died this year.
Yes, Kelly Preston.
She died.
Yeah.
So, Smitty, have you ever
I didn't know
fallen
that.
In love with have you ever had a fall affair with a hottie in New York and like gone on long walks near Central Park with the leaves changing colors and you get cocoa and it's a little Nipsey Russell outside? I mean, have you had that fall affair, Smitty?
I'm not even embarrassed to admit that I absolutely have. And I'll be honest, I'm a sucker for that stuff, Scotty. You know, I'm obviously, you know, we got the sports vibe. I'm a degenerate gambler. I like to do all that fun stuff. So I'm definitely in that vein, but I've got a soft side to me. I enjoy the nicer things in life, enjoying a nice evening, a fine stroll through New York City with a lovely lady. I certainly can get behind that.
I like that, Smitty. That's a strong effort on your part. All right. So I want to, I hope you find another lover here this fall, right before it really gets Thank cold you. And miserable. Hope you find another one. Smitty's always
That's
fishing.
The plan.
All right. So I want to talk about all the college and pro games with you that matter. Like, we'll hit all the big games here.
Sure.
Let's start with Notre Dame and Georgia Tech at Bobby Dodd down in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, this Notre Dame team has certainly played a lot better than maybe not better than people think, but they're definitely living up to the expectations of a team that maybe can compete with Clemson. I certainly expect them to take care of business against a Georgia Tech team that's really struggled this year. I mean, this line's 3 touchdowns for a reason. I like Notre Dame's offense this year. Top 10 in total yards, you know, top 20, you know, across the board, really, in most offensive categories. So this is a Notre Dame team that can certainly move the football. And I would expect them to continue to do so against Georgia Tech, which got absolutely ravaged by Clemson. And Notre Dame has similar weapons and similar 5-star kids. So I expect Notre Dame to roll here.
So Clemson has to play BC without Trevor Lawrence. How do you think they're going to do it at 24.5? When it first opened, it was like 31 and a hook. I grabbed it at 31 and a hook when it first opened up like Monday. And then now it's down to 24 because 24.5 because he's not playing.
Yeah, and this DJ Uiagalelei, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing his name right, but that's the backup quarterback that's going to take the snaps for Trevor Lawrence this week. Listen, I mean, it's still Clemson. They're still really good across the board. My guess is you see a lot of Travis Etienne in this game. If you find his props, I saw his prop on FanDuel hovering in the one teens. I think that's a good number because I'm guessing he gets a big, you know, he'll carry the load a lot. Clemson's going to win this game. It's really just about how much they win it by. I think Boston College has shown some fight in some games this year. You know, they're 4-2 against the number. So I'm not totally ruling out BC. I think the line move, you know, we ask ourselves this question all the time. How much is a star quarterback worth in college football? And we got our answer. It's about a touchdown. So I think Boston College probably keeps it close, but I wouldn't bet on either side of this. The Etienne prop, I think, is the way to play this one.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in the game because this kid's not playing.
Yeah, I agree.
And, the backup's a stud. We'll come back with Smitty and hit the rest of the games and some pro games on a bench. So Mafi is getting married in a couple of weeks, and I heard him talking to Smitty about the wedding, the big wedding he's having, also known as a super spreader event. And we're going to this big wedding. I'm in the wedding, and I just heard Mafia on the in the break talking to Smitty about the over under on if he's going to actually be able to have me killed. Mafi is actually trying to kill me. So as to take over the Pharrell and Event show permanently with Carver High, because he's doing the show next week while I'm on vacation. And he just told Smitty that his goal is to kill me. And he didn't know that my earpiece was still on. And then Smitty's bringing, I think he just said he's bringing a hooker to the party, which is awesome. And I can't wait to
meet her. We're making it a work outing. We're going to make it a Sports Grid outing. There's some people from Sports Grid coming, and it's going to be a grand old work outing. We're going to have some fun. Can you believe, Pharrell, I haven't seen you. I haven't seen Ariel, my co-host. I haven't seen any of these people in person in 9 months. Like, it's crazy to think about it, really. I work with them every day, and I haven't seen them in person in months.
Yeah, that's crazy. And, you know, it's been really weird. It's going to be bizarre, I guess, to see everyone. Next week, I'm out next week, and then I think the following week is when the wedding is. So it's going to be great to not be around anyone for a week, and then it's going to be horrible to see everyone 2 weeks from now for me. It's going to be horrible.
You're going to love it, though. You're going to love it. How long have you been working with Mom? It's been, you're going to shed a tear on his wedding day. I know you are.
Yeah, 16 years, and
you've known him longer than his wife.
I don't know about crying in baseball. I don't know if I doubt I'll cry. Is anybody going to have any weed at the party? Mafia? Anybody?
I'll have some for you. I'll bring it.
Hold on, let me check. Hold on. I'm getting a text right now. Don't talk about weed on the air. You're live. Just stop with all the drug talk. So we're talking to Smitty, and he's breaking down the games for tomorrow. We got a ton of games to hit, Smitty, so haul ass. I want to do pros too. Georgia and Kentucky and Lexington. Georgia's laying 17.
I think Kentucky keeps this close. I think they've shown you a couple times that, you know, they can be game, and I don't trust Georgia's offense at all. So I'll trust the points here. Kentucky keeps this one relatively close. Low total, I tend to go with the dog, especially a big dog.
Memphis and Cincinnati, you got a 4-0 Cincinnati team, highly ranked. I don't buy into any rankings this season. They're laying 6.5 to Memphis, and Memphis is a good team.
Yeah, Memphis has had their moments this season. I agree with you. I'm not fully on board with the Cincinnati bandwagon yet. I need to see it against a really good opponent. The numbers for Cincinnati, though, I mean, offensively, they're okay. You know, top 50 in yards. Memphis really is the offensive juggernaut in this game. And I think the matchup to watch will be Memphis's offense against Cincinnati's defense, which historically is good. They've been good this year. Relatively low total in the 50s for a college game. So that trends to go towards the team with the better defense. So I think Cincinnati probably, I wouldn't back Memphis considering how bad their defense is. So I think it's either Cincy or pass, but this spread's a little bit too big for me to be comfortable with the Bearcats.
Michigan laying 21.5. Originally when it opened up, I got 25.5 with Michigan State.
Wow.
It's a rivalry game, Smitty. I know Michigan State got beat by Rutgers. They got caught sleeping. Is Michigan really going to blow out their rival?
I think this game will be relatively close. So based on what we saw from Minnesota tonight against Maryland, I mean, that win for Michigan doesn't look overly great now. And I'll be honest, Rutgers, from the things I've heard here in the Garden State, I mean, you know, you're a Jersey guy, Pharrell, you've heard some things, some good things coming from Greg Schiano in this program. So I think Rutgers probably was a little bit underrated, where Michigan was probably overrated. And so I think that game was just a bad spot for the Spartans. I think they'll play better this week against their rival. I can't lay that many points for with a Michigan team that certainly hasn't proven that they can score on a good defense. I mean, even Maryland dropped 50 on Minnesota tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and they were laying 20, and they were up 38-21, and they still lost, which is embarrassing. Kansas State and West Virginia and Morgantown, and West Virginia's laying 5.5, and Kansas State's tough.
Kansas State, I'll be honest, the Big 12 is kind of an interesting conference this year. Kansas State's metrics look pretty good. Offensively, they don't move it that well, but their defense has played well, and they're 4-1 against the number. So I haven't been overly impressed with West Virginia, you know, coming off of a loss against TCU last week. I think they certainly can be scored on, and Kansas State struggles to score, but, you know, a lot of teams can score against West Virginia. I'll take the points here. Give me six? Yeah, 5 on the hook? I'll take the 5 on the hook with Kansas State here.
So Iowa State's laying 27.5 at Kansas in Lawrence. Kansas is 0-5. I don't know if Iowa State's ever beat any team by 28 points. Ever.
Yeah, and Iowa State's had – they've had a rough season, huh? I mean, talk about some really bad losses. TCU, when they had a lead in that game, they had a lead against Oklahoma State. I mean, a lot of really tough, battle-tested losses. And, of course, they got blown out by the Raging Cajuns in the opener. So it's been a weird season for Iowa State. But on the other side, I mean, Kansas is just – they are really bad. I mean, what did Les Miles get himself into down there? I think this is – I don't think I can bet this game, Scotty. I don't know if I can do it, man.
Yeah, they're they've always been terrible in football. It doesn't matter who the coach is. Purdue's in Champaign against Illinois, laying 7.5. You start laying 7.5 with Purdue at home or on the road, you might run into some problems. I hit Purdue last week against Iowa in West Lafayette, even without Jeff Brohm on the sideline. But I don't know. I think they can win this game. I'm not sure they covered at Wood.
Yeah, that's a big one. And I'll be honest, the Big Ten is so new. I mean, you know, you saw it tonight. What, Maryland was 18-point dogs. They won the game outright. You know, so I feel like you're seeing a lot of incorrect numbers in the Big Ten. So I think if you're unsure, if there's any uncertainty for you about a number, I think it's best to lay off. A lot of uncertainty with Purdue laying on the road like this. So I think your instinct is correct.
LSU Auburn at Auburn. LSU's favored by 2. Just the fact that they're favored at Auburn is all I need to know. I'm on Auburn, although I'm not a fan. I've said this on the show on Coast to Coast. I've lost a lot of respect I had for Bo Nix. I thought he was a better quarterback than he is. Like, I saw him meltdown last week or whatever, 2 weeks ago, and screaming at his teammates on the sideline, screaming at coaches, taking off running like stupidly, and sticking his helmet down, trying to take on linebackers like he was some kind of tough guy. I just thought he was, you know, stupid. I'm sitting there watching this kid going, how stupid is this kid? Like, as a player, not as a person. But I just thought that he was all over the place. I'm not buying him, but I think they can beat LSU.
LSU's defense has been terrible this year, and I think that's, you know, really where I look to this game. They're a bottom unit. They're giving up almost 500 yards per game. They're giving up over 340 passing yards per game. So, and I know Auburn doesn't throw it that well, but if there's ever a get-right spot for Auburn, they're coming off of a crazy win at Ole Miss. That was a wild game. And you're right, he's had some really bad spots, Bo Nix. He had that terrible game against South Carolina. That was one of the worst losses in recent memory for
Auburn.
That
was the game.
You know, South Carolina's been dreadful.
That was
the game you're talking about. Yeah, he melted down in that game. He played well down the stretch against Ole Miss, and he pulled out a win in that game. That was a crazy game, too. But I think big picture for Auburn, they're fine. They're just they lost a couple of games early, and they're not going to be able to recover from those. Obviously, the Super Bowl for Auburn is that Bama game. That's really the only game people are going to grade Gus Malzahn on this season. There were some preseason hype on Nix. Clearly, he hasn't lived up to that, and I agree. I think he needs to play better. But this is I don't know how you can bet LSU and then lay on the road with them here. I mean, this is Auburn or pass for me.
All right, so there's several other games, but I'm just going to throw you the game that matters, and then we'll go pros. The biggest game left on the board is Ohio State, Penn State, in Happy Valley, and they're laying, now it's down to 10.5. I got it at 12.5, and then it moved all the way down to 10.5. I know a lot of people that think Ohio State's going to beat Penn State's ass.
Well, this is a tough game for me personally, because obviously as a Penn State alum, I view this game differently than probably most of the Sharps do. I do have an emotional attachment to what happened last week. And at saying that, I can tell you that it's probably going to be hard for these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to emotionally overcome how the game ended last Saturday against Indiana. So I think that's where you have to start with this game. What's Penn State's mindset? You know, they don't have the benefit of the crowd that's going to jack them up for this game. They don't have the benefit of the whiteout really taking its full effect. And I was at the first whiteout in 2005 in this game, this exact spot. When Kirk Herbstreit first said it, this was the best student section in America. There's nothing like it. And it's the only, I think that and an LSU night game are the only two games that the books will give 4 points to the home team for. And that matters. And I think that is going to have an impact in this game. The energy level for Penn State is something I'm going to keep a very close eye on early. When you look at X's and O's, clearly Ohio State has the better offense than Penn State does. And I think it's going to be Justin Fields that's going to set the tone in this game. I like his rushing prop a lot, under 30, 38 and a half. I saw it under 40, which is a good number for him. I think that's a good way to play this game. Penn State's been really hurt. You saw it last week with Penix. They've been hurt by the rushing quarterbacks this season and in previous seasons with this defense. So I think Fields has a good game, and I think Ohio State wins. The cover is another thing. This series has been, you know, historically close. So I wouldn't be shocked if Penn State covered it, but I don't have a lot of faith in them winning this game. I'm concerned about their mentality going all that adversity. And then all of a sudden, you go through all these things to overcome COVID and getting to the season. And then you get there. And then the first week, it's like, it's done. So I think mentality wise is where I struggle with really backing Penn State here, but I think there's a decent shot they cover.
I went to, as you know, Indiana, so we'll just leave it at that. It was a crazy game. Penn State should have won
the
game.
That was a wild game.
Penn State should have won the game, but they didn't, and it is what it is.
But they didn't. They didn't make the right plays.
Listen, I've only waited 32 years for Indiana to win a football game. I literally, I was there in 87 when Bill Mallory and Thompson and the Hoosiers beat Ohio State in Columbus. I was at Indiana when it happened. That's how old I am. So to see them finally win a game, and the way they won it was so crazy that it just was insanity. I went crazy watching that game. I got to be quick here. Who do you like in the Steeler-Raven game?
I think the line says Pittsburgh. You know, obviously the public's going to be on Pittsburgh, but how can you not take three in the hook in this series? I mean, you've watched the million Steeler Ravens games in your life, Scotty. I feel like, you know, if you're getting three plus the hook in this series, there's really no other way to bet this.
It's 4.5 now, and I got it at five.
I don't understand how this game's not close. I don't see how it's not close. It's always close.
Monday night, Buccaneers Giants. It's 12.5.
Yeah, I'm laying it with the Bucs there. So this is the worst spot for the Giants possible. So we saw it with Vegas last week too. Trent Brown, the right tackle, out with COVID. The rest of the offensive line had to miss practice that week. And the Bucs have the fiercest defense in football. I mean, they are the best defense in football. They're the top efficiency DVOA team. They only allow 66 rushing yards per game. That's clearly where a lot of teams start their offenses, and they shut that down better than anyone. And the Giants are turnover prone. They're mistake prone. This feels like 45-10. I mean, it really does. I think Daniel Jones is going to be licking his wounds after Monday night.
Didn't Ariel go to Penn State too, just like you?
She did. She's not a full, she's like a hybrid, because she went to Penn State, but after, I think, 2 years, she transferred into Newhouse. So she's kind
Syracuse.
Of, you know, yeah, okay. Syracuse. So she's got that the Syracuse it. Connections, and she leans on that network, but she's
I've
a Penn
spent,
Stater at heart. I give
I've
her credit
spent more
it.
Time at Penn State than Ariel than drinking. So I'm from Pittsburgh. I drank there more than she went there. All right, you know. Smitty, great stuff. Have a killer weekend. I love you. Fantastic, my man. Enjoy the games. All right, so Keith Aziri will be doing Coast to Coast next week when I'm out, and Mafia and Carver High will be doing Pharrell on the Bench every night. I'm out, so I'm essentially off from Monday to Friday, but I'm going to be out for 9 days, whatever. I'll be back on November 9th, so don't sweat it, and it's really nothing major. I'm not doing anything exciting. I got a huge project I'm working on at my house. I'm doing construction on my house, so that's what I'm doing. I'm not going anywhere because of COVID, but I am busting my ass and doing some crazy project, and I'm going to need a lot of reefer to get through it. Morenzi knows I gotta do a lot of and I gotta do this. Hold on a second, Mavia. Tomorrow night, Davis and Santa Cruz on Showtime pay-per-view. Gonna be unbelievable. 9 Eastern. Two belts on the line. 135-pound belt, 130-pound belt. They're both awesome. Davis knocks people out. Leo throws more hands than anybody ever. 4 fights on the card. It's incredible. Call your cable operator, satellite provider. Smart TVs have it. Connected devices have it. Showtime.com or the Showtime app. Order the fights, and it's at the Ferrellamo Dome in San Antonio. Fans are welcome. Ticketmaster still has tickets. You can go to the fight. It's going to be kick-ass, social distancing, everything else. I've seen both these guys fight 10 times. Great fighters. Great fight. It should be a war. I think it'll be the fight of the year. I think you really dig it. Davis, Santa Cruz, El Terremoto, tomorrow night in San Antonio. Check it out on Showtime pay-per-view. All right, Morenzi, Bills and Pats and shuffle off to Buffalo on Sunday. The Bills had better rub it in their face. You might as well kick them while they're down, right?
No, you're exactly right, Scotty. If the Bills can't win, it's going to be more depressing than the Super Bowl losses, almost. It's a lot like Michigan when Urban Meyer split. Well, Harbaugh better win now, and then Ryan Day just kicks the snot out of him. And you know, you just feel helpless. Buffalo need to step up. I think they will, Scotty. I know Belichick doesn't lose four games in a row very often, but they blow. They don't have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the football. If the Bills can stop the run, they roll. I like the Bills.
I pray to God the Bills win it. All right, Morenci, I'll see you soon, brother. Have a great show. I'll see you freaks on November 9th. Mafia, take care of Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. Good night, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.